Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to the Rock Chalk Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Mitz. Today, we are continuing our previews of the KU football opponents. We've been going through these. For those of you guys that are just joining us for the first time on one of these, we've been going through the KU schedule, starting at the end of the season and working our way backwards. So we're all the way back to the second game of the season, which is at home against Coastal Carolina. To help me out with that, I have gotten Aikman Chambers from Underdog Dynasty. That's the SB Nation site that covers a lot of the Group of Five conferences, to go ahead and join us. I understand, Aikman, that you normally cover Appalachian State and kind of talk about Coastal Carolina on the side as well. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it, man. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. But yeah, normally my bread and butter, nine days out of ten, I guess you could say, is definitely Appalachian State, living just about 30 minutes from Boone. But I also have made a lot of connections past few years down at Coastal Carolina, and I follow the Chanticleers since their days in the Big South, and handle anything Coastal Carolina related some too.
Sounds good. All right. Well, Aikman, thank you so much for joining us. So I do want to ask, Coastal Carolina, you know, I think everybody kind of looked ahead to this when it first got on the schedule. And Coastal Carolina hasn't really been a very good football program, to be, you know, completely honest. Last year, though, it seemed like they kind of picked it up a little bit from what they usually have. You know, they ended up going 5-7 last year. Got some decent wins, but finished the season on a four-game losing streak. They are one of the, I think there's like 27 jobs that have brand new head coaches in them for the first time this year. Les Miles, obviously, at Kansas being one of them as well. But what was that year like for them last year? Was it really that far back from expectations? And ultimately, why did it lead to them changing coaches?
Well, it's one of those things. Joe Moglia had some health issues that took effect, and it was really it ran so much deeper than what a lot of people, I think, knew on the outside. He had some health issues. He had to step away, and they knew Jamie Chadwell knew this program. Jamie Chadwell coached at Charleston Southern. Charleston Southern, who is just an hour or two down the road from Coastal, bitter rivals when the Coastal's days in the FCS and the Big South Conference. That was the big rivalry game, was Charleston Southern and Coastal. Well, Moglia, knowing Chadwell, brought him on staff. Chadwell was the interim. He had that interim label last year as the interim head coach for Moglia. It's now officially going to be his first year this year. But people forget, you know, the way Coastal Carolina season ended, but the way how it ended being four straight losses, but this team was 5-3 with four games left on the schedule. This team had it clicking. They had won games they were supposed to win. You know, they had sneaked out a good win over a Louisiana Lafayette team who went on to play Appalachian State in the first ever Sun Belt Championship game. But out of Coastal Carolina's last four games last year was against Appalachian State, Arkansas State, Georgia Southern, and South Alabama. Now, App State, Arkansas State, and Georgia Southern speak for themselves. Those are three of the powers in the Sun Belt Conference, and Coastal Carolina fell in those three games. South Alabama is a game a lot of people thought Coastal would win to get to bowl eligibility last year, but they didn't. They dropped the ball down in Mobile, and it was really what started out and looked to be so promising the way the season started. It was almost like a tale of two seasons in 2018.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned the health issues that the coach had, and it almost seems like that kind of derailed, because I just was reading up a little bit before we jumped on here, and You know, he had to step away, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he had to step away in 2017 because of health issues, then ended up coming back thinking that those had been resolved, and then they kind of resurfaced towards the end of last year. Is that correct, or am I thinking of a different school?
No, you're right. You're right on track. It's one of those things. He thought he was in the clear, ended up being not so much, and it's a sad thing to see. Moglia is still involved in the program. He is kind of listed as more of like a chairman of athletics, an executive director for football. You know, he was a CEO there in New York for years before becoming the coach at Coastal Carolina. So now he's kind of got his own CEO title at Coastal Carolina now too. But yeah, he's still involved, but man, I have heard nothing. I was just talking the other day with the play-by-play voice for the Chanticleers, Joe Cash, and from what I gather, man, Jamie Chadwell is so hands-on in this program. It's almost like a fresh breath of air, because he is so hands-on. He is so there with all these guys. Anytime they need him, he is there. I mean, it's almost like a new vibe over this program that's been in kind of a foggy place the past 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, they got the coach back beginning of last year, and it seemed like everything was clicking. Again, I haven't been following them, but from what I've gathered, it seems like they really kind of fell off as he started to have health problems again. And so there's a case that could potentially be made that they should have been a much better team, you know, if he had been able to stay healthy the entire year. You know, and a lot of people talk about the health of the players, but honestly, the health of the coach can have just as big of an impact on how well a team plays, how well they game plan and are ready. And those kind of distractions of a coach having to deal with a health issue can really derail a season. So like you said, they dropped that game, had a huge comeback in that game against South Alabama, and just was not able to go ahead and finish it, which denied them the opportunity to go to a bowl game last year. You know, I think, and I'm guilty of this, but I think most Kansas fans hearing about Coastal Carolina, you know, didn't really think of Coastal Carolina as one of the good mid-major type teams. But looking at their schedule, you know, the last 2 years were a little bit difficult. When was it that they jumped up to the Sun Belt? Was that just 2 years ago?
Yeah, just 2 years ago. You know, they're the new kids on the block. App and Georgia Southern domed that title for a couple of years because they just moved up in 2014. Well, just a couple of years ago, back in 2017, was their first full-fledged, was they got their feet wet, and last year was their first full-fledged season with bowl eligibility at the Sun Belt and FBS level. And so, yeah, you know, they're still, people need to realize this is a super young football team, still going to be going into this year. This is a young team. There's going to be a lot of underclassmen and a lot of guys getting reps that is going to stay at Coastal for at least another 2 years, and in some cases, some even three. I mean, this is a super young football team still.
Yeah, yeah. So talking about the team itself, obviously every team has a bunch of turnover from 1 year to the next. And given the fact that they were fairly successful early in the year, who are the key players from their team last year that they don't have with them any longer?
Well, I mean, it starts at quarterback, but the problem with Coastal Carolina is Kilton Anderson was their quarterback a lot of times last year, but it's been one of the biggest issues for Coastal Carolina since they've made the jump to the Sun Belt is week in and week out, it has been a revolving door at quarterback. Kilton Anderson held the fort down a lot last year, but you also got guys like Bryce Carpenter and Fred Payton and Chance Thrasher, who is now transferred to East Tennessee State University. Chance Thrasher was a guy who had his name in the hat to be the starter this year. East Tennessee State lost their quarterback. They have an opening, so Thrasher has left Conway and headed to Johnson City, Tennessee to try to get the nod there at the FCS level. And, you know, obviously running back, this is a team that likes to run the football, and you know, Marcus Outlaw, man, he was a stud at running back for this team, averaging just over 6 yards a carry, I believe, last year, and he's gone. I mean, so really it starts with quarterback and running back. That's the two key spots I'm looking. No Kilton Anderson and no Marcus Outlaw. It's going to be an interesting time in Conway to see how those two positions that are so key in their offense, they're going to have to figure some things out.
Yeah, definitely. It's not a good thing when you lose your two most productive offensive players. especially at the positions that are that important. So now obviously you guys have lost players, but new players are coming in every single year. Of the new players you guys have, whether that's freshmen coming in or junior college transfers, or, you know, transfers from other schools that are now eligible, you know, where are those new players that you're expecting to come from that are going to have a big impact on this team?
Well, the freshman aspect is unknown because there's so many returning guys from last year's team that you kind of already have an idea of who's going to be where. The freshman idea is something that Coastal Carolina is not giving you much from what I've noticed in keeping up with them preseason. A lot of the freshmen are just going through the motions here in fall camp because so many positions have guys that have been there, done that, so to speak. You don't really know freshman-wise exactly who's going to be able to make an impact just yet at this point. However, one guy to keep an eye on, he is a 300-pound former Clemson transfer, Sterling Johnson. He's going to be a veteran presence in the middle of their defense, and he's a guy to watch at nose tackle simply because Coastal Carolina's changed some things up. They've been a four-man front. Well, Chadwell now at his first year, he switched the defense up a little bit with what they're going with overall. Talking with his defensive coordinator, they've decided to go to a three down front system and going to look with a new defensive coordinator that worked with Chadwell at Charleston Southern. So he brought in another guy from Charleston Southern. So they're going with a three down front philosophy, and that's one of the things I want to watch simply because with this former Clemson transfer and Sterling Johnson, also to go with Teron Jackson, who's returning on the defensive end. Teron Jackson has a chance for a breakout season this year at defensive end, who can also play a little bit of outside linebacker, and he can also line up at that nose tackle spot too. He's a guy they feel comfortable putting him just about anywhere in that front seven.
Sounds interesting to have a guy from Clemson transferring there. Should be, you know, regardless of what he was able to do at Clemson, it sounds like it'll be a shot in the arm in terms of talent-wise, which should be extremely helpful. So, all right,
absolutely.
I do want to go and look at the biggest contributors you guys have on offense and defense. But before we do that, I'm going to go ahead and throw it to a quick break. We'll be right back on the Rock Chalk Podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And we're back. Okay, so talked about a little bit before the break. You know, obviously we've talked about the guys that left, the new guys that are showing up and where you expect them to contribute, but kind of just running through the offense itself, who are you expecting to be the biggest contributors for the offense this year?
One guy to watch is C.J. Marable, a sophomore running back. This kid's got big shoes to fill with Outlaw now gone, but he is a guy to watch. This is a kid who's got breakout potential at any point in time. He finished up, actually, overall, C.J. finished up as the team leader with 719 yards and 6 scores last year. And that's the thing about it. He's not really alone, so to speak, because both quarterbacks, whether it's Bryce Carpenter, whether it's Fred Payton, whichever quarterback gets the nod, right now there's the talk that they will go to a two-quarterback system to start the year and let both guys get reps early in the year. Both of those guys can move, too, so there's three guys right there, and C.J. Marable, the running back, Fred Payton as quarterback one right now, and also Bryce Carpenter, quarterback two, or quarterback 1A, so to speak, in Coastal Carolina's favor as well. But one other guy, and obviously a lot of people don't credit the offensive lineman up front, but the guy anchoring that offensive line, Trey Carter Jr., he doesn't have the height factor. He's just 6'1", but he's 305 pounds. He gets awesome leverage. He's a strong leader of this team. If you look for a guy they point to as heart and soul, it is Trey Carter Jr. Like I said, what he lacks in height, he makes up for in girth and muscle mass and just his ability to move his weight around. At 305 pounds and 6'1", you know, not your typical center build, but, man, he does an awesome job holding down the fort.
All right. And what about the defense? Who are you guys expecting there to be the biggest contributors and hoping to kind of slow down, the opposing offenses for this year?
Well, the number one defensive guy, obviously, a guy we mentioned before the break, Teron Jackson Jr., defensive end. He's 6'2", 265. He's a pass rusher. He's going to be the guy this year. The past couple of years, he's played off of Jeffrey Gunter. Gunter had been the main guy who had got a lot of the attention at defensive end. Well, now Teron Jackson steps up to be that main guy, and he's really the guy that Coastal Carolina on defense, they're looking for to be the main man. With this new three-down front, he's going to get a lot of attention will be put on him on the outside. And this is a guy, he battled injuries early on in his career, but he has bounced back and put together a good sophomore season last year. 58 tackles, 3 sacks, 11 tackles for loss. I mean, there's a chance this year with Gunter gone, if some things can go right, I mean, this guy can really up that sack total just a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so kind of brings us now to, given all the changing pieces, given everyone that you have there ready to contribute, what are the expectations for this team? You've got a fairly tough schedule, it looks like, just with moving up to the Sun Belt, kind of still getting acclimated. But like you talked about, teams like Appalachian State and some of the other ones in the Sun Belt that have been the powers don't seem to really be slowing down too much. The non-conference schedules you have set up, you start the season playing against Eastern Michigan, and then you travel to Kansas as those first two games. But specifically, what are the expectations for this team? Are you expecting them to take a step forward inside the Sun Belt? Is it kind of a bowl season or bust type of season for them this year?
You know, that's the hard question that I think a lot of people around Conway, because you think 6 wins is attainable this year, but when you look at how the Sun Belt itself on the back end is kind of pulled itself up a little bit. Texas State looks to be better this year with a new head coach from Texas A&M. They've struggled, and this is a good year for Coastal Carolina to grab that one extra win, because we can put Norfolk State, they look at as a win. UMass is definitely a winnable game for Coastal Carolina. Appalachian State in Boone, probably a loss just looking at it. At Georgia Southern, probably a loss. At Arkansas State, probably a loss. Troy, they get Troy at home. So you have an opportunity there with a Troy Trojan team coming into Conway in November. If some things could fall your way, there is your chance. In back-to-back weeks, you have Troy and Louisiana coming into Conway. You have a chance there to ride this ship and eke out one or two wins that maybe you wasn't projected to get, because that's what this team has lacked. As we mentioned last year, they were 5-3. They were one game away from being bowl eligible and dropped the ball when it come to playing the big boys on the block in the Sun Belt. Well, they're going to have a chance, and I think it's going to come down. I think that Troy game or the Louisiana game for Coastal Carolina, depending on what happens in those two games in early November, will dictate whether this team goes bowling or not. I think they have the potential to. They're young. Still, again, this year it feels like that's been the theme the past couple of years with these guys. But I think overall, the two games I'm looking at for Coastal Carolina to decide whether they go bowling or not is the Troy game and the Louisiana game.
Yeah, and I think it really, just looking through and kind of seeing where everybody was last year and, not really knowing too much about the Sun Belt, because I don't follow any of the particular teams very often, but Texas State appears to be there. Like, it appears they're going to be in a similar situation to last year, that they very well could come into that final game, against a team that is probably going to be towards the bottom of the conference, at 5-6 and needing that win to get the bowl eligibility. And it's just going to be a matter of, this time they'll be at home hosting Texas State, and that might be like the final game to actually get them over the hump there. So Okay, so talking specifically about this Kansas matchup, what kind of strategies do you think that this Coastal Carolina team might have to handle something like the Kansas rushing attack? You know, Kansas has probably one of the most electric running backs coming back in the nation. You know, he's not going to get a lot of publicity across the nation just because of what Kansas has been. Although everybody probably knows his name due to the whole domestic violence allegations. And, you know, he ended up pleading guilty to domestic battery. And there are some people that weren't very happy with the, you know, with the suspension that he got. But it'll be his first game back. He'll be looking to make a statement, you know, and then they have two other really good running backs. How is Coastal Carolina going to handle that kind of rushing attack that the Kansas Jayhawks have?
Well, first and foremost, hopefully better than last year. This defense, this is really what killed Coastal Carolina down the stretch last year. It wasn't so much the offense, it was the defense. The defense at times, just to be plain and honest with you, it was hard to watch, especially against the run. The offense was able to have a good time of possession, but the defense allowed over 2,900 rushing yards, 32 touchdowns, and 6.5 yards per carry, getting hit for over 230 yards more than 9 times last year. This is a defense that, even with some of the athletes they have and had last year, they were abysmal against the run. And when I look at a game like with Kansas, where you mentioned what could be a very good running game and what should be a very good running game, especially with Les Miles now, I mean, that's going to be the key, is can they get that shored up? Because they were one of the single worst teams in the country last year on defense, and specifically against the run.
Yeah, I mean, that's where Kansas is probably going to, you know, get most of their production. Obviously the quarterback position has to get better. They have to get some passing offense going, but you know, that's where they're going to kind of be looking to get most of their production out of, either passing to the backs coming out of the backfield, or, you know, using all of that talent that they have that can do a bunch of different things. This is going to be probably the first major test for the Jayhawks, for them to really see how everything comes together. And I'm definitely really interested to see how this game goes. Coastal Carolina is definitely a better team than I had initially thought when the schedule first came out. And I think part of that too is, you know, when we first really started looking at this game, you know, it was that first year that they were in the Sun Belt, and you know, usually have struggles when you move up a conference like that. So a lot of people kind of wrote them off, but they seem to kind of find themselves last year. I'm definitely a little bit more worried about this game now that I've read up on them than I was when when I first started looking at the schedule a few months ago. But the real question, I think, then also becomes, in terms of the strength of Coastal Carolina, you know, Kansas is a little bit of a different feeling this year, because last year we had issues with the coaching staff that we had. Basically, our defensive backs were always out of position, and so we got killed over the top. This year, you know, I think everybody feels a lot better about what Les Miles will bring defensively to this team. And we do have a lot of really good talent in that defensive secondary. The real questions are kind of in that front seven. We're replacing a lot of guys. We lost a ton of talent out of that front seven. The question becomes, is Coastal Carolina going to be able to step up and take advantage on their own, on the running side, to be able to set them up for the pass? We've already talked about some of the guys up there, but do you think that Coastal Carolina is up to the task to keep up offensively with what Kansas could potentially do?
You know, it's one of those things. Jamie Chadwell, he knows the running game. The running game is his bread and butter, because Charleston Southern was where he coached at was old school, triple option, wishbone, flex bone at the FCS level. Chadwell knows how to get a running game going offensively. It's going to be up to the guys up front, because this is going to be more so of a run first team. They want to try to get Marable going. They want to try to get him cranked up and to get him rolling and get his confidence up. The thing I want to see in this game is kind of, as you mentioned, the passing game. There's not a clear cut as far as receivers go to me on this year's team. There is not that one receiver that they have that just absolutely stands out. Now, they have a kid named Kajon Tyler, who is a senior. Tyler is a wide receiver and a kick returner. The guy is really fast. I mean, he's lightning quick. He's always traditionally been a number two or a number three option receiver, but kind of with him being a senior this year, he's having to take that lead role. This is still, for Coastal Carolina, this is still a game against a Power 5 school from the Big 12. They have a chance to pull an upset here because a lot of guys on this team right here that are seniors this year played key roles 2 years ago when this program went into Fayetteville, Arkansas, and had the Razorbacks beat before they let the Razorbacks come back in the fourth quarter and shock them 39-38. And some of these guys know they've got a chance here. It may be the last Power 5 upset that Coastal Carolina could pull for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is and I would say that probably next year is going to be a fairly good opportunity for them unless Kansas can really get stuff going this year, because next year Kansas actually travels out to Brooks Stadium out in Conway to visit Coastal Carolina, which doesn't typically happen very often. But I think KU is kind of at the point where they needed to do home and homes to get pretty much anybody to go ahead and schedule them. So I think that could potentially be a good opportunity for them if both of these teams are kind of just making, you know, small strides from year to year. But like you said, you know, it's definitely one of the better opportunities for them. You know, Kansas, who knows where they're going to be at this point. You know, given what happened to them last year against Nichols, you know, they came out and lost to their SCS opponent in the first week. And so I could potentially see something like that happening again this year if, you know, they don't have Puka Williams for that first game. And if they just can't get anything going, it's always a possibility. It would make me really, really worried about this game as well. So, yeah, I'm definitely a lot more worried about this game than I was initially. I think as recently as a week ago, I didn't see any way that KU could have lost this game to Coastal Carolina. And I'm definitely rethinking that now, just having looked into them a little bit more. So, all right, Aikman, any other thoughts you wanted to leave us with tonight?
Well, I just, man, thank you so much for this opportunity. And one thing I would say, too, to watch with Coastal Carolina, it seems to be, I know they've talked mostly about the two-quarterback system. I think that's mostly to go into that first game against Eastern Michigan week one because they want to get some kinks worked out. But I look for Fred Payton to get that nod. I think Payton may be just a step ahead of Carpenter. Now, obviously, we're just going on what we've seen so far in the offseason. I look for Fred Payton to be the starter when they roll into David Booth there on September 7th. But who knows? But if it is Payton, this is a kid that's got some legs behind him. He hit 65% of his throws last year for 677 yards and 6 touchdowns. Only 2 interceptions in limited action because they played like 4 different quarterbacks last year. But what the action Fred Payton got, Fred Payton showed an ability to lead this football team, so I would not be surprised if he is the guy starting there week two against Kansas.
Yeah, it would definitely be interesting to see. You know, normally stuff doesn't change a lot from week one to week two, but there's definitely the opportunity with both of these teams really needing to get stuff set up that we could see quite a bit changing from what we would expect as it stands right now. So, all right, Aikman, well, we will go ahead and leave it there. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. Where can the people find you online?
Well, obviously, during football season, I drop stuff for Appalachian State weekly because that's, like I said, Appalachian State is my main things. I'm usually dropping, obviously, previews and recaps. Recaps, I'm usually either on Sunday mornings or Saturday nights right after the game since I attend all the Appalachian State home games and go to a couple road games. So always loaded with Appalachian State stuff and throw some Coastal Carolina stuff out there when I can as well. On Twitter, at RadioGuyAC is where you can find me on Twitter. Right now, currently, I'm in the middle of a breaking down 3 games at a time, an App State season preview series for people interested in that, taking it 3 games at a time, giving my game-by-game predictions and insights on each team that App State is playing each week. Good stuff there, but definitely RadioGuyAC on Twitter is where you can find me. Man, thank you so much for letting me come on. It's always good to talk football. I am ready for August 31st. I don't know about you, but I am ready for it.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely ready to get this going. We've been building up with Les Miles, you know, being hired, gosh, at this point, probably a good almost 9 months ago. Or, well, it's been 9 months or so since we knew we were moving on from David Beatty. I'm trying to remember exactly when Les got hired, but it's been a while. We've been building up, anticipating this for a while. So I'm definitely ready to kind of see what they can do on the field. And with all the guys they have coming back, I'm definitely looking forward to it. All right. Well, Aikman, once again, thank you so much for joining me tonight. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you have not already, please do go out there and find us wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, any of the other apps that are out there. Just search for Rock Chalk Talk. You can subscribe there. You know, leave us a rating, a review, nice comments, 5 stars, all that great stuff. It really does help to get the podcast out there so that more people can find us and we can get more stuff for you guys. If you do want to contact the show, give us questions, comments, you know, suggest any topics or even any guests you want us to go ahead and try to bring on, you can do that on Twitter at Rock Chalk Pod, or you can email us at rockchalkpodcast@gmail.com. You can also go ahead and interact with the site that sponsors us, Rock Chalk Talk. That's on Twitter as well, at Rock Chalk Talk. But at that, we will go ahead and leave it there. Thank you guys again so much for listening. Aikman, once again, thank you so much for joining me. And we will catch everybody next time on the Rock Chalk Podcast.